Good morning.
Morning.
Lending the Sefer Zerah Kodesh with Parshas Vayera. Welcome to everyone who's here. Welcome to those who are joining us online and to our anytime. And the Zerah Kodesh is going to analyze a little piece in the Akedah. The Torah tells us in the Parsha of Akedah Yitzchak, Hashem says to Abraham, Kachno as Bincha, as Yechidcha, Asher Ahavta, as Yitzchak. And the Torah continues, and he's going to focus on the following pasuk. It says, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. Avraham woke up in the morning. What do we learn from Avraham waking up in the morning? The whole concept of Zerizus, as we'll see. Vayachvosh as Chamoro, and he saddled his donkey. What does that mean? He went and prepared his donkey himself. Vayikach Hashnei Na'arav Ito, he took his two youths with him, Ve'es Yitzchak Beno and Yitzchak his son, Vayivaka Atze Ola, and then he chopped wood for the offering of the Ola, Vayakam, and he got up, Vayelach, and he went, Alamakam, to the place, Asher Amar Eloha Elokim, that Hashem said to him. And the Zerah Kodesh, the Heiliger Rav Schitzer, has a question, which maybe this question occurred to you. If it didn't occur to you, it should have. Which is, Yesh Lahavin, we have to understand, Sipur Tereseinu HaKdosha, all the details of the stories that the Torah is telling us. The cave in the cross, Zerizusa de Avraham Kamashmalam. The Torah is trying to teach us the Zerizusa the Avraham. This is an expression that the Gemara uses, but the concept of waking up in the morning, and instead of dragging around, immediately getting to it. We learn that from Avraham Avinu, and even when the Gemara talks about, you know, we don't always, not all the mitzvahs do we insist that you have to do it, but Bris Milah is an example of a mitzvah which there's an emphasis on the reason Magdim and the mitzvahs to do it specifically early in the morning. And the reason is because since Bris Milah is associated with Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu is seen when he goes to do mitzvahs, and we know Bris Milah is also a little bit of an akedah, and so there's a concept of Vayashkem, in that case, this case Avraham Baboker, but Vayashkem, all of us are Vayashkem in the morning when we are inspired by Avraham Avinu. So, after all that Zerizus, Imkei Merov Zerizuso, from such a hurry, why didn't he take chopped wood? Kidei lemaher darko, to hurry on his way. He stops and chops wood. What does that mean, chops wood? He stopped, he took an axe and pieces of wood and he started chopping. He's supposed to be rushing. He's supposed to be running out. Lo levakea ata etzim, not to chop wood now. She's akib zedarko, that would take time. The bevada bebayis gadol shel Avraham Avinu olav shalom. Certainly. In the house of Avraham Avinu, Hayatamid Eitzim Bekuin, there was always chopped wood. They had fires going for cooking, for heating. So there was chopped wood. Why didn't Avraham just take chopped wood? Why is Avraham stopping after he saddled his donkey and he took the Arav and Yitzchak Beno and suddenly stops Vayivaka Atze Ola? So what the Zerah Kodesh is going to show us is he's going to give us three explanations for what's really happening here. And in all of them, he's going to tell us that Avraham Avinu, in all of these explanations, is preparing for the Akedah through the process of chopping of wood. And as we know, when we talk about Zerizus to do a mitzvah, Zerizus to do a mitzvah doesn't mean, as most people misunderstand it, to do it as quickly as possible and to get it over and done with as early as possible. It means that you don't waste time dragging around going about doing the mitzvah. But if you're working on preparing for the mitzvah, that's also part of your Zerizus. The Chassidim HaRishonim used to spend an hour before davening show in Sha'achas, they would contemplate and they would meditate for an hour before davening. It's a Mishnah in Masechtas Brachas. So you think that that means that they're delaying, they're davening for an hour, and it's missing from the reason Magdim and LaMitzvah says that from their alacrity? Of course not. That's part of their... So if you learn that the chopping of the wood is part of the preparation for the mitzvah, then of course it's not a lag in the performance of the mitzvah. If anything, it's even using the time in between as part of the mitzvah. So that's clearly going to be the point. The question is, what's so special about the chopping of the wood? Okay, so before I go on, he's going to give three unique explanations. I just want to say the answer that the world gives, which isn't that much different, but it's a little different. He's going to take it in a more specific direction. But the world gives an answer, similar to a Gemara in Bava Metzia that talks about Rabbi Chiya, that when Rabbi Chiya, he wanted to make sure the Torah would never be forgotten from the Jewish people, so the Gemara says he used to make these nets, and he would trap deer, and he would use the deer, he would use their skins to write Sefer Torah. And the whole question is, like, why does he have to make nets and trap animals? Why doesn't he just get printed, or in his case, already pre-written chumashim? And the answer is, because if you want to educate children, you need that not only that... All right, good morning to everyone here. Good morning to those listening online. We actually got cut off there, so we're going to just repeat the question again. The question is, why does Avraham Avinu have to chop wood specifically for the Akedah? So, again, the answer that the world gives is similar to the Rabbi Chiya explanation, that when you want to do a mitzvah, like the mitzvah of chinuch, in the case of Rabbi Chiya, he would, even the nets, the parchment that you give to the kids, the parchment should also be holy, and with the intentions of l'shem mitzvah. So in the same way, you would understand that Avraham Avinu would have felt that in order for him to do the Akedah properly, even the wood itself has to be l'shem mitzvah akedah, and not just relying on random wood that was chopped for some other reason. You can hear that. But the Zohar Kodesh is going to take this a lot further. He wants us to understand that there were specific intentions with the splitting of the wood, because if it was just that Avraham Avinu, why did he do it specifically in this place? Why does he do it after he's already got the people together, and then he goes about doing it? Ach yadua, it is known. Sha'avraham ratza l'sakin chet adam arishon be'etz adas. The intention, Avraham Avinu's life, was about fixing the world, fixing the problems that exist in the world that were created by Adam HaRishon and the eating of the tree. And so everything goes back to the Garden of Eden. She'amar lo Hashem Yisbarach. Now if you look in the Garden of Eden, Hashem says to Adam HaRishon, Mikol Eitz Hagan Achol Tochal. From all of the trees of the garden, you will surely eat. U'mi'Eitz Hadas Tovara Lo Sochal. And from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. And all of us read this simply as you can eat from all of them except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's not what it says in the Pasuk, though. If you look at the Pasuk, we add that word except on our own because that's how we translate it. But the literal reading of the verse is you should eat from all the trees of the garden, and from the tree of the of knowledge, the Eitz Hadas, you shall not eat. Meaning that literally the verses are contradictory. V'yesh ledakdik, so if you look at the literal translation, the kevin sha'amar lo mikol Eitz Hagan achol tochal, once he says to him, from all the trees of the garden you may eat, in King Gam Eitz Hadas v'chal, that includes the Eitz Hadas. V'eich amar achekach lo sochal, then why say afterwards, don't, this one you can't eat. There should have been the word except there. Yesh lomar, so the Rav Shutz wants to suggest, shapir shukach, that actually the pshat is like this. Shigam me'eitz hadas, ha'yurishai le'echol kodem lochen. Adam HaRishon was permitted to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Because when Hashem said to him, you may eat of all the trees of the field, of the garden, that included the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge. However, Rakshayitzarech lahafrid hara mikodem, he could only eat of the good of the tree. he would have to separate and split, partition the bad from the good. So when he would want to eat of the tree of knowledge, he can't eat it in a way where it's a tree which is a confusion of good and evil. But there was a process by which other Marishan could have eaten from the tree. What he needs to do is he has to first divide and split the evil from the good, and then eat. And he doesn't quite describe this process, and I'm not sure if describing it would help me. I don't know if these terms would. But the concept is an amazing concept that Adam Arishan was, because one of the questions is, why didn't Hashem put an electric fence around the tree? So obviously, it's all part of the plan, and it's all. But it does seem like the tree was there to be eaten, and the answer is it could have been eaten. It could have been eaten if Adam Arishan would have approached it where he would continue to distinguish between what's right and what's wrong, very similar, I guess, to the four who went up into the orchard. And the challenge there was not to confuse right from wrong, not to confuse what is permitted. Adam Rishon was supposed to somehow split this and eat from the tree and keep himself partitioned, all the good from the evil. So what went wrong? So he says, v'nechet Adam Rishon haya, the sin of Adam Arishon was that he managed, as he's going to tell us, to get 99.999% where he was focusing only on the goodness, on the good of creation. How everything is good, how within him is good, how he wants to serve Hashem, how he wants to stay connected to Hashem, and all of that. But Shinis Arev, it got mixed in. Chelik Echad, mi Aleph Alfi Alafim. So one part of a thousand. I don't think he means this literally, but literally, a thousand would be, 10 billion? So that one tiny little amount, Kavanas Ha'anaso, was pleasure. Just indulgence. Just selfish, personal indulgence in the fruit of the tree. One tiny little bit. And he couldn't eat it completely for the sake of Hashem, L'shem Shemayim. And had Adam Arishon eaten from the tree of the Garden of Eden, without any taiva le'inayim, without any desire, but only because he wanted to serve Hashem, then there would have been success and the mission of the universe would have been accomplished. But he couldn't manage to make it. He couldn't make it all for Hashem. Which means that when he ate, there was good and bad mixed together. And because of that, that made all of humanity have good and bad mixed inside of us. He didn't separate the bad from the good first. Yes?
With all the other trees in the garden, was he supposed to eat with just the Shem Shemayim and not for the taste or the...
Right, so it seems like the other trees, because they didn't have Ra mixed into them as one of the ingredients of the tree, it seems like it would have been easier to do with L'shem Shemayim, and even had there been mixed in any other thoughts, it may not have had the same effect. This tree specifically has in it, one of its fruits is evil, but only is that way if you choose to partake of that part of the tree, spiritually.
It has nothing to do with the taste or, like you said, the Shem Shemayim to eat it. So it has nothing to do with the fact that it tasted good and he was eating it 1 billionth.
Well, that's part of it. That's what he's going to say, is that when you're doing something you're supposed to do for the sake of Hashem, and you do it and you have yourself involved, so that's missing from that mitzvah. That's kind of where he's going with all this. Right? That truly doing a mitzvah, and that's what we say is so great about Shabbos, and the Shabbos meals, because in the Shabbos meals we say that it's all considered as if you're eating it l'shem kedushas Shabbos, even if you enjoy the challenge. So that's a special thing about. But I guess the tree of the garden and the tree didn't quite have that specific feature. says below hifri the rami kodim, so Adam Arishan didn't separate the bad from the good. The Avraham Rachet, the Avraham understood what was missing from Adam Arishan. He understood that the reason why this world was filled with so much corruption was because Avraham Avinu realized that Adam Arishan had introduced this selfishness and arrogance and ego into humanity to the point where it overwhelmed people and they were doing terrible things. That's why the greatness of Avraham Avinu's actions is that he's doing it all l'shem Hashem. V'nisnase b'yud nisyonos, all 10 tests were tests where things don't go the way I want them to go in life. And I don't respond with, wait, this isn't how I want it to go. But each time it was, oh, this is the will of Hashem. Okay, that's what we shall do. And so those are the tests of Avraham Avinu. If you look at them, why is Avraham Avinu, all 10 tests are that, right? They're all a test to see, you know, what his response would be to one kind of challenge or another. Why is Avraham Avinu being tested again and again in this specific challenge? So he's saying that proves to you that that was the issue with Adam Arishon, which is what Avraham Avinu is trying to fix, was that he did do all these things, meaning he ate of the tree, and it was he put himself into it. So Avraham Avinu now has to undo that. Kiloe kavanasa b'chala avodas, Avraham Avinu in all of his service, everything he did, was rak shiizgala kvod malchuso yizbarach shemo. All he wanted was that Hashem's glory should spread throughout the world, that Hashem's honor, Hashem should be known as the king of the universe, as the master of the world. That's all he wanted. And everything he did was to that goal, even though he was being tested. Each time, it was harder and harder. Each time, he continued to say, no, this is what Hashem wants. And so this is the way that it's going to be. And I'm going to continue to just do the best to increase Kvod Shemayim, to increase the glory of heaven in this world. That's what my life is about. And that's the undoing of the sin of Adam Arishon. Lezek Khan. Yes.
So if that is the case, why Abraham argued with Hashem for
request
from Hashem not to destroy Sodom?
Good question. Let me repeat the question. So if that's the case, then why is Avraham davening for Sodom? Or even, then you may add, why is Avraham davening for Yishmael if he just accepts? So the answer to that within this context is that part of the tests in life is to accept the things that Hashem is doing to you that Hashem says needs to happen. But in the case of Sodom, Hashem could have just destroyed Sodom. And if Hashem would have just destroyed Sodom, Avram would have said, oh, it must be Gamzu L'tova, this is the right thing. Kol Ma'ad Avid Rachman L'tav Avid. But Hashem came to Avram and said to Avram, I need to destroy Sodom because they're so terrible. Avram says, why are you telling me this? Must be that this is an opportunity to daven. So that the challenge became to daven, and somehow we would have to learn that Avraham understood the same kind of message in Yishmael when he says, "Do Yishmael yichya lofanecha." You know, commentaries have different approaches towards that. But each time that Avraham Avinu talks to Hashem and says, "Maybe it should be different," is because he understands that that may be what Hashem wants from him, because Hashem does desire the prayers of the righteous. But when something comes out a certain way, Avraham Avinu was able to say, this must be the word Hashem wants. Okay. So here, Avraham Avinu is about to do the greatest of these tests, the greatest act, perhaps in the history of the world. Right? Anyone who did it after him only did it by the power of Avraham. Lishchot, he was going to go slaughter as Beno Yechido, his only son. Shenasan lo Hashem Yisbarach, that Hashem had given him, Lamea Shanim, after 100 years. You know what Avraham Avinu is afraid of? Hayyare lanafsha, Avraham Avinu is worried, Shlo Yisarev Beza Chalila, Machshabas Psul, he knew that to clear his mind and to have all the right thoughts was the real challenge here. And when it comes to korbanos, especially when it comes to offerings, the thoughts you have at the time of the slaughtering are important. They affect the hechsher, the kashrus of the korban. It can be affected. Even a person has silly thoughts can ruin the korban. So,
Atzeula.
What?
Atzeula. It's hinted to in the words. If I can't say Ola.
Yeah.
Why do you have to add the word Ola? It's
You say, why does he add the word Ola? Right, because the concept of, very good. Lachshov belibo b'shas asiyah achakach. Now, what was going to be the psul? There was no selfishness concern. But you know what it was going to be? Somewhere in his mind, there was desire, a thought to creep into his mind and say, wow, you're doing a really big mitzvah. That's the danger. How do you hold that back? Because he is doing a really big mitzvah. So that's the machshavas psul that Avraham Avinu is afraid of. Lachshav b'libo b'shas asiyah, either to think while he's doing it, or achikach. Kama gadol avdu zos, what a great act of service to Hashem. Shasisi tziva Hashem yizbarach, v'zeh, I fulfilled the will of Hashem. Now we're supposed to have pride in the performance of mitzvahs, but he's saying in a way where it would be that selfish kind of self. Look what I did. Yes.
Couldn't the possible thing be that he thought maybe I really shouldn't be doing this because this is my son?
Right. So in his third explanation, he's kind of going to go into that arena. But at this point, he's learning that the problem here is the ego versus the Lashem Shemayim. That's the emphasis of the test of Adam Arishon versus what Avraham Avinu is accomplishing. Adam Arishon had created the ego, and Avraham Avinu is the beginnings of the nullification of the ego. So if that's the case, it would be about what I've done. Right? So he says, L'chem vayivaka atze. What he did is vayivaka means he split. Right? And the word baka, which means to really... to split wood rather than to chop wood, because that's how you chop wood, is you split it. But we have bavaka achal yamsuf. The yamsuf was baka into bikios, into splits, right? So what he's saying is vayivaka atze is that Avram Avinu split the Eitz Hadas. Shebaka vehifrid hara meitov. He went back to the original Eitz, to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he split that inside his head, mi Eitz Hadas tovara, shlo yeh lara achizabo, so that the evil would have no place to affect him. He basically undid for that time. He woke up in the morning, saddled his donkey, gathered, Yishmael and Eliezer, and then he took Yitzchak, and then he went into his mind and chopped away all the ra from the Eitz Hadas, so for the next few days he could just be the Shem Shemayim. Shlo yeh lara achizos, the evil would have no effect on him. Rak nishar atov, only the good remained. Levad bilti tarovis chelik echad mi'elof la'anoso, so there was not even 1,000th, even one small bit of Avraham Avinu that said, wow, you're such a great person for doing this.
Yola is brought to Avraham.
Machshavas. Okay. So vayivake atze, right? And then as you're learning Ola, but vayivake atze means he partitioned his mind and removed his ego. He's going to go do this. He says, v'chein shamati, and I heard, says the Rav Shitzer, shabal shem tov zechrono levracha, b'shas moso, that the holier b'Yisrael bal shem tov, and when he was passing from this world, hayorochesh b'sfasav, he was whispering, muttering something under his and with his lips. V'hitu asna melech, so someone wanted to hear what is the Baal Shem Tov saying when he's leaving this world. V'shamu, and they heard Shiz Paul, he was davening. Sheyenatzel mipnios, that he should be saved from ulterior motives. As the Baal Shem Tov is passing away, he's just saying to himself, Hashem, please help me. That it shouldn't be about me. It's not about me. It's not about what comes to me, what I'm entitled to, what I deserve, what I've done, which I don't want. It's not about that. So he was asking that Hashem should save him from this self-centered perspective. Mikan yesh lahavis, you have to understand, ad hechna dvar magim, how far this goes. Should tzadik kamoso, a tzadik like the Baal Shem Tov, b'shas istalkusa, when he's leaving the world, hayagam ken yarel nafshi, he's worried at mipnios, that he'll have these ulterior thoughts, umachsheves chutz, and external thoughts, meaning like his own carbon that he's offering himself up to Hashem is somehow going to become possible because he's thinking to himself, oh, look what a great carbon I am. Look how much I've accomplished. And so he's davening to Hashem at the time of his death that he should be able to transcend and ascend from this world in just wanting to serve Hashem, never about me. And that, this is all the first pshat of the Rav Shitzer. And I just want to emphasize that We're talking here about Adam Rishon, Avram Avinu, and the Baal Shem Tov. And if someone's saying, oi, you know, I'm not on the level of Avram Avinu, you're not on the level of Avram Avinu. You're not on the level of the Baal Shem Tov. You could be. Be'ez Hashem, work your way up there. We can all get there. But to understand that there were Yidden in the world who reached this level where their self was second to their desire to fulfill their purpose and to serve Hashem. And everything was about that. And even if we're not on the level to do it, you know, like the Baal Shem Tov, but each of us on our own level, we have to recognize that a lot of that, the sense of entitlements that we have in this world and all of these things that we make it about ourselves, that he's saying that really comes from the Eitz Hadas. And we have to start separating and pulling away from that, at least at the time that we're doing mitzvahs, it should be for the sake of Hashem and not because we're so great. And that's what Avram Avinu is doing by Yivaka. Ateola means he's partitioning his mind, splitting the parts of him that were connected to the Eitz Hadas. Not now. You guys will stay on the side. You stay here. We're going to Har Moriah to perform the greatest Nisayon of them all. Od Romes. But a second explanation. Vayivaka Ate, Vayivaka. The letters Vayivaka, Vav Yud Beis Kuf Ayin, Osios is the same letters as Ukve, which means footsteps or the heels. Romes, Leikvus, the Mashiacha, is an allusion to the footsteps of Mashiach. And now, what he's going to explain to us is let me explain it outside and then. Each person, each individual person, is created in the image of Hashem. What does that mean, you're created in the image of Hashem? It means that just like there's eyes, kaviyachol lamala, you have eyes, you're created, you have a right arm and a left arm, yimincha Hashem nedari v'kayach, yimincha Hashem teratz oyev. We're created in the image of Ahai. Without, I don't want to go over the whole drasha again of how that works, but that's the concept. So, but that's each individual person. But we know that as a generation, this current generation living in the world is also one goof, one body. And some of the Jews are the eyes of the nation. V'imnalami eine ha'eda is what the Torah refers to at the Sanhedrin, the eyes of the nation. And there are people who are medabra da'ame, they're the speakers of the Jewish people, they are the mouths of the Jewish people, and you know, some people are the right hand of the Jewish people, some people are the left hand of the Jewish people, and some people are the toes, right? Everyone's got their. But also, as he's going to explain to us, it's also true that the Jewish people throughout all the generations are also one goof. So that there were generations was the generation which was the mind of the Jewish people. The Dor Dea, the generation of knowledge. There was this generation that was the eyes, the generation of the mouth. There was the generation that wrote the Torah. There was the generation, and we consider our generation to be closer to the Ikvus, the Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach, but Ekev also means the heel. Because the heel is the lowest and the numbest part of the human body, because we are the lowest and the numbest of all the generations. Right? We're just trying to figure out how many layers there are to these heels. Right? So, Kihine Knesset Yisrael Bechlal, he says the Jewish people as a whole, who Koma Shlema is a complete construct. Berosh, the Chalaguf, the head, the whole body, Ad Ekev Araglaim until the foot, to the heels of the feet. Uksiv, we have a pasuk that tells us, Ki Ha'adam Eitz Hasada, man is like a tree of the field, and even though, depends on how you read these psukim, you get different understandings of it, but one of the interpretations of the pasuk is that it's actually a statement saying that man is like a tree of the field, and the Maharal extends on that concept a lot, he takes that approach, Shudugmas Ilam, because a person is kind of like a tree, Beshorish, you have roots. Except as the Maharal explains, instead of being rooted in the ground like a plant, you're rooted in Shamayim. It's the other way. You're like an upside down tree. V'anafim, you have branches. V'prachim, you have leaves. You have flowers. V'alin, you have leaves. V'perisim, you have fruits. V'chein akoma shel Knesset Yisrael, who be bechinas ilam ve'eitz. So all the Jewish people is like one big giant tree. Again, each individual human being, then the generation is a body, and all the Jewish people are a body. So if each person is a tree, then all of the Jewish people together form one big giant tree. So what Avram Avinu did was he chopped that tree. Zeu shnema vayivaka atzei, he chopped the wood. Shibaka v'tikin ha'etz v'akoma shal knesses Yisrael, he fixed. Shibaka means he split, and he broke through, and fixed the sin of the Eitz Hadas on some level for all of us. Without Avraham Avinu in this world, we would be like the Dor HaMabul. Right? We would be corrupt, and we talk about all those terrible people. That's us. They had the same 600,000 neshamas. Right? That was us. We were the Dor HaMabul, but that was before Avraham Avinu. Right? Before Avraham Avinu, we were so corrupted from the sin of the Eitz Hadas. We were intolerable, literally. So what Avram did was he corrected that. But by Yibaka, he split all the way through to the Ukve, to the final generations. Ad Sof Kaladoris, to the end of the generations. Ad Makama Ekev Shebekoma Shagadusha, to the heels of the construct of holiness Kavanah. Kanal, as you explained before. Shekavanah Sohaya Lahafrid Arami Atov, because he was splitting the good from the bad. So he was separating between the bad, good and bad, and he made it possible for all future generations, vayivaka, which are the letters of ukve, the heels, right? So that's meaning that he brought that all the way through to our generation. So the way we would read the pasuk is Avram woke up in the morning and he saddled his donkey and he got his to Narim and Yitzchak, and then he said, if I'm about to do the Akedah, it's not just going to be for me or for Yitzchak or even for Yaakov or for the Shvatim, or I'm going to make sure that the effect of the Akedah goes all the way through to you and me in the heels generation. So what he did was Vayivaka Atzei Ola, Vayivaka, meaning all the way to the Ikvas, the Mashiacha, Atzei, he broke that wood to go all the way through and allowed all of us to partake of this world with a little bit more of a distance between the good and the evil of the tree. And that split was caused by Avraham Avinu at this point. And so the word Vayivaka is an allusion to the fact that not only, like the first explanation, that Avraham had to pull himself apart from the Eitz Hadas, but that he invested that into all future generations, allowing all of us to observe Torah mitzvahs without as much difficulty as we would have otherwise, because Avraham Avinu performed the Akedah and fixed all of our neshamas. Yes?
How do we understand this when the Rambam talks about the death of the Abraham, by not trusting in Hashem, he left there because of famine, and he really like to, America, that Sarah is my,
Right. So we don't have a long time to get into that Rambam, but it is a good question, right? That the Rambam learns that Avraham Avinu was not supposed to go down to Mitzrayim, and so he does not consider that one of the tests, because if that would be one of the tests, then Avraham Avinu didn't pass that one. So that's how the Rambam learns. So you would just have to learn that that wasn't one of the tests. No one's saying Avraham Avinu didn't make mistakes. We know Avraham Avinu made mistakes, because the Gemara says that Avraham Avinu, the Gemara says the only four people who didn't do Averis, and the others are not one of them. Right? Even the Gemara even wants to suggest about what about Moshe, and the Gemara says no. Yeah, the Mei Meriva. Right? So the Gemara, the Avraham Avinu doesn't. Right? But it's all whatever he's doing is l'shem shemayim. So we're not going to focus on the parts that may not be right. But that would just not be part of the nisyonos. It wouldn't be one of the tests. Continues the Zerah Kodesh. Gam vayivaka Osios Yaakov. Also, Yibaka is the same letters as the word Yaakov. Shiratza lasos ha'uvda bebechina zu is that Avraham Avinu was trying to focus the Akedah so that Yaakov should come out from him. Now this third explanation is a very complicated one, but I think it's important for us to understand, because he's going to resolve a lot of questions that we have in other places and how to properly understand Midrashim. So now, the concept that Yaakov is in the word Vayivaka, that's pretty clear. Right? It's right there. The question is, what does this mean? It says, K'mosha Amar Rabbi Seinuzal, our sages teach us, and this is a Zohar. And basically, Rav Shitz is going to spend the rest of this Torah trying to explain this particular Zohar. The Zohar says, Al Pasik Bayom HaShlishi, it was on the third day, Vayaris HaMokom Erachok, he saw the place from afar. So says the Zohar, Bayom HaShlishi, why the third day? Says the Zohar, because the third day is Tuesday, that's the Midah of Yaakov Avinu. Shira Shi Yaakov Yotze Mimenu. That Hashem waited until the third day, and on the third day, meaning Avraham Avinu had some understanding within the concept of the third day, and he understood the concept of Yaakov Avinu. When Avraham Avinu came to an understanding about Yaakov Avinu, that's when Hashem says, now you can do the Akedah. Which almost seems like Hashem wanted Avraham Avinu to raise the question, you're going to have a Yaakov, but yet you're still somehow supposed to do the Akedah, and he's going to address that. But that's what it sounds like. He's saying Vayivaka means that Avraham Avinu said to himself, I'm going to make sure that there's going to be a Yaakov in the world. So then all the commentaries ask the question, how can a person think two opposite things at the same time? If he believes he's shechting Yitzchak, how can he believe that Yaakov would come from Yitzchak? So you could just learn, which is how many Mefarshim learned, that that's mamish what Hashem wanted, was that Avram should be stuck in contradiction and sort of go around that. But he's going to have a different approach.
No, that was a test, maybe, then?
That's how some learn. But he's going to have a different approach. He's going to learn like this. Yesh lefarish, I'd like to explain, and he's going to offer us a new explanation. And what he's really going to be doing is showing us how we are supposed to properly read Midrashim in general. Because sometimes we read a Midrash and we have a question, and because we don't know exactly how literally to take these Midrashim. And that's just in general, throughout. You know, there's throughout Chazal, we know that there are like the Rashba writes, the Ritva writes the same thing, regarding the Agadatas of Rabba Bar Bar Chana, that these gigantic whales and birds on branches and all of those things, that you're not supposed to read them literally. You're not supposed to. I once heard Rav Victor Miller say it over. He says, if someone would tell you that in the early 20th century in Europe, that there was this giant eagle with a wing that goes all the way from Moscow to Madrid, and it was dropping giant eggs over Europe. So you wouldn't say that this person's a clown. You would say this person's giving metaphors for World War II, right? So in the same way, you have to understand when people are using metaphors. But that's clear. In those cases of Rabbi Bar Chana. Then we have Agadatas, where Chazal are clearly telling us pshat. They're telling us the stories of what happened in Chumash, and so we have to know. It's those spaces in between that we don't always have. You need a real tzaddik, a real Talmud Chacham, to be able to understand and distinguish between how to draw those lines exactly. And here we have a great example from the Zohar Kodesh. Yesh Lefarish, he wants to suggest, She'ena Kavana, Shira Yaakov beguf gashmi. He didn't see Yaakov as a physical human being, Bu yotze mi Yitzchak, as a son of Yitzchak. When Avraham Avinu has this Bayom HaShlishi, it doesn't mean that he's seeing Yitzchak walking Yaakov to shul on Friday night. Right, but there I say, here's what it means. Avram hayaroya, Avram knows, she'ikr kavanas abriya haya b'shvilo, that the creation was for him. K'mo she'amru, bihi ba'aram ba'avraham. And he's going to learn, the Rav Shitzer, that Avram knows this. Presumably because Avram knows the psukim of creation. So Avram has already seen the word bihi ba'aram, and he already knows that it's ba'avraham. But he doesn't think it's him. He doesn't think, oh, I'm the... It means what I'm bringing into the world is what Hashem wants. Or he called Kavanasus, his intention was to bring Hashem's holiness into the world. And that's why when Hashem says to him, Avram, you're going to be okay, So it's going to be okay. Hashem Elokim, Ma'ati Tenli, what are you giving me? V'anochi Holech Hariri, right? He doesn't have children. Hein Lila Nasata Zara, meaning, Ki Hayarotze Lahashi Zera Kodesh, he wanted to leave holy descendants, Zera Kodesh, in the Sefer Zera Kodesh, but his intention was, so that someone else will continue the holiness in the world. Avraham Avinu is L'shem Shemayim. What does he want? That his mission should end with his passing? His whole desire is that this empire of Avodas Hashem, there should be someone to carry that on. It shouldn't be cut off. Otherwise the world will forget Hashem like they did before. So you need someone who's going to carry that on. Mashakara Avram b'shem Hashem kel olam. Everyone in the world was talking about Hashem now, which they weren't before Avram came along. And he got people saying Baruch Hashem. And that's what Avram Avinu is afraid of. Who's going to carry on my mission in life? That's what he wanted children for. And we have to think about ourselves. There's a lesson here, which I'm too short on time to go into, but the concept of having children and wanting them to continue in the ways of Hashem and perhaps to even be better than us. Right? And that's what happens. It ends up happening that it's his descendants that spread monotheism and the knowledge of Hashem in the world, even into the false religions. They all took it all from us, from the Jewish people. But it all starts v'yatzim izaro umay Yisraelis. From his descendants came the Jewish people, and Avram understood that was the purpose, that there was going to be a continuity to all that he had brought into this world. He understood that. How did he know that? Because Bihi Baram. Bihi Baram meant, this mission that I'm putting in place is the purpose of the world, and that's what Hashem was confirming with the Bihi Baram, and so he knew, okay, I have to have this continue.
How would it continue without his son? How would it continue with Yaakov?
Very good. He's going to answer that. We have to let him speak. L'chein, k'sha'amalo Hashem Yisbarach, when Hashem says to him, Shesara tolid lo bein, Hashem says to him, Yisara will have a child. Amar, he says, Lu Yishmael yichyal ufanecha. If only that it could be that Yishmael would live before you. Upirish. So what he means was, Shiyet tamid lefanav yisbarach. Why can't we just make, if the whole purpose is my continuity, so why can't it be through Yishmael? So that's one answer to your question, although he's going to give a better answer soon. That's what Avram is saying. Let it be Yishmael. Ki lo haye kavanaso lahamid zera davka misara. He wasn't intending, Avram, that his children would have to be from Sarai Imenu. And he does not have the feelings that v'lo dai lo b'zera Hagar, it's not enough if it's Hagar's child. Al she'ohev Sarah hagvira, because he loves Sarah, the main wife, Yosar mihagar ashivcha, more than he loves Hagar, the maidservant. Meaning, says the Rav Shmuel, it's true. Avram loved Sarah more than he loved Hagar. Sarah is his wife, and Hagar is the shivcha. So you would think that he would want that the continuity should go through Sarah Imenu, and he's saying Avram did. But if it wouldn't be Hashem's will, he would have been okay if it would have been Yishmael. Which is literally the purpose for why they originally gave Hagar to Avram Avinu, was so that Sarai Imenu would be able to build through Hagar. And what would have been the outcome then? That whoever would have been the continuity of the continuation of Avram Avinu would have come through Hagar. So Avram is saying, now I understand you want to give me a child through Sarai Imenu, but this is about you. So if you want to make it work through Yishmael, make it work through Yishmael. Not at that point, yeah. Even Bashar Rusham is even later, right? So he says, that's really the answer. So the point of Avram, he's not trying to defend Yishmael. He's just saying, Hashem, whatever you want. Like, if this is about me, you want to give me a child through Sarah because he loves Sarah more than Hagar. But not for me. He wanted that he should have a descendant that would carry on the service of Hashem. And if it could have been through Yishmael, he would have, that would have been sufficient.
Right.
Pirush, he a tzaddik. Right? Let him be the tzaddik. Kizerakav and Nasa, that's all I want, says Avram. She achrav tzaddik, that there should be a tzaddik. She yamshecha kedusha ba'olim, to bring holiness into the world. And so the answer is, Hashem lo Hashem Yisbarach, Hashem says to him, no, Avol Sara yishtecha yoledes lecha bein, Sara will have a child, Shlo hoya efshe davar zelaham shecha kedusha ayidei Yishmael, because we cannot bring this holiness through someone like Yishmael. Yishmael is not righteous. He has evil characteristics. He carried in him all the negative aspects that Avraham Avinu sort of channeled out. And so Yishmael is so to speak, not worthy to be the great tzaddik. Rak Ayidei Yitzchak, so that's mamish Hashem's answer. Hashem's answer to him, Yishmael just isn't good enough. Which is, of course, very hard for Yishmael to handle, as we can see. V'zesh amru chachameinu zechranu levracha. That's what our sages mean. Shara b'yam ha'shlishi, sheYaakov yotze mimenu. When he saw on the third day that Yaakov would come from him. So he's going to explain to us, it doesn't mean he Yaakov, but it means the kind of continuation that we see actually happen from Yaakov. Avraham Avinu recognized on day 3 that kind of continuity was going to come from him, regardless of how it was going to happen. So back to your question you were asking before, how is it going to happen? Right? So he's saying that Avraham Avinu didn't see Yaakov the person. He saw that his mission and his purpose in life of spreading the knowledge of Hashem in the world was going to continue through an idea called Yaakov, and that was going to happen in any case. And he's going to be very specific about it. Osios Yaakov, when he chopped wood and he had the word Yaakov in mind, says that the Zerah Kodesh, it doesn't mean Yaakov, the human being, the tzaddik. He wasn't thinking Yaakov is going to be born from a woman, Rivka, and serve Hashem, and have children, and set up the Jewish people, and then they would go down to Egypt, and they would come out. That's not what Avram sees in the Bayom HaShlishi. Like, he may see that different elsewhere. But in the Bayom HaShlishi, that's not what he sees. He says, you know, why is Yaakov called Yaakov? And it's not just Yaakov that's called Yaakov. All of us are called Yaakov. Al Tira Yaakov, right, refers to all the Jewish people, not to be afraid. Matovu, Ohalacha Yaakov, Mishkanosecha Yisrael. Who's the Yaakov? Right, so Yaakov didn't put up all those tents. We are Yaakov. And what does it mean we're Yaakov? We're Mamish Yaakov. Not the person, the idea, right? Knesset Yisrael, we are the Jewish people. So he says, Masharum is Bishmo Yaakov. And he says, you know why his name is Yaakov? Because Yaakov is two words. The Yud, which is the Aseres Adibros, and Akev, Kuf Ayim Beis, is the 172 words of the Aseres Adibros. If you count the Ten Commandments in Parshas Yisro, you will see that there are exactly 172 words, and those 172 words make up Ten Commandments, Aseres Adibros, that's Yud and Akev, Kufayim Beis. She calls them Arumas B'Shem Yaakov, Yud Dibros, Ten Commandments, Kufayim Beis Tevus, and across 172 words. You can count it, it's 172. Shal Yodo, so what Avram sees on day 3 is that you should know that the Ten Commandments and all 172 letters are going to come out of this act that you're doing here. And that's what he sees. That Hashem's name will spread throughout the world. And the Torah will be given on this world. Because as we know, the whole Torah is included in the Ten Commandments, the Kufayim Beis Tevis Elu, and these 172 words. So, he explains to us the Kavana of Avram Avinu. V'zehoye ikra Kavanas Avram. That's what Avram is thinking. Shebaka atzi ola, he splits the wood. Meaning, Sheyeh Yaakov ba'olam va'yivaka atzi ola, means he channeled Yaakov into this world. Meaning, Moris Pashtas Kedushas HaTorah, what he was channeling down was that the Torah should be beheld by a nation of people serving Hashem. Later, that would happen. It would actually be a human being. It would be a tzaddik, the great Bechir Sheba Avos Yaakov Avinu. I use the word human being in a hopefully respectful way, right? Halavai, we should be human beings like these lights of creation, right? But like Avraham Yeroi Shekasov Bihi Baram BaAvraham. But Avraham knows that the pasuk says Bihi Baram BaAvraham, named Ikra Kavanas Abriya Bishvilo, which means he knows that whatever Hashem's plan is in the world, it's going to go through him. Shu Yam Shechai Gedusha BaOlam, that he would continue the holiness into the world, and he knows that it's not going to be through his children, because he's about to take the life of Yitzchak. So then how could it happen? The answer is, there's somehow still going to be a Yud and an Ekev. His greatest fear is that this should disappear after his death. All those years of trying to spread the Hashem and his name in the world, and then it would all go away. Gam Haven, but Avram also understands. Again, first clue is Bihi Baram. But there's another clue. Shinitosiv lo hey al shemo, Hashem gave him a hey. Avram gematria resh mem ches. Avram is numerical value of 243. He was given a hey, and suddenly his numerical value of 248. Shia resh mem ches mitzvah asei b'torah shetispash al yadim. This is 248 positive commandments. So again, this was a clue to Avraham that Hashem wants him to spread Torah and mitzvahs into the world. V'kayim haTorah ad shelo nitna. That's how Avram is able to keep the Torah before it's given, because he understands that's his mission. And he understood, and he saw, and he understood. And he had this prophecy which he receives on day 3, that there would be 10 commandments across 172 words. Haramus b'Yaakov, which is all alluded to in the word Yaakov. That's what he's trying to bring into the world when he's splitting the wood. And you could read into this, interesting, according to this pshat, that the eights that he's splitting is much closer to the eights achayim than to the eights hadas. Right? The first pshat is learning that he's splitting the eights hadas, again, whether it's for himself or for all future generations, but he's kind of removing the ra, and now he's saying it's more connecting to the Eitz HaChaim, that with the tree of life, which is Eitz HaChaim Yilam HaChazikim Ba, which is the Torah HaKadosha, that Avraham Avinu understands that through him there's going to be Bihi Baram, and there's going to be the 248 positive commandments, and he's about to lose his son, which would be the natural continuation of this process. So he understands that he somehow has to arrange to make sure that there's, even though there's no Yitzhak, that there's still a Yaakov. So he splits the wood to generate that there would be a Torah given in the world, even if Yitzhak is no longer in the world. And how would that happen? By Avram Sover, let me just finish. Zesherat l'hamshech as Yaakov, while he wanted to bring Yaakov into the world, shetispashet kedushas haTorah ba'olam, shenichal b'teves Yaakov, to spread the Torah in the world, which is within the word Yaakov. That's what it means. He saw Yaakov coming out from him. So here's what Avram thought, and this is the answer to your question. Shapirish, well, here's what it meant. This is what he was meant to do. We know that Adam Arishon was given a test. What would have happened if Adam Arishon would have passed the test? So we would have entered into Olam Haba. How could that be? What happened to all the work we're supposed to do? The answer is, there would have been so much work in the effort of Adam Arishon, that challenge was so great that had he overcome it, it would have included all of our challenges and everything that we have to deal with, and somehow the world would have been able to graduate into a higher level of existence had Adam Arishon passed. Of course, that's not the plan of Hashem. Adam Arishon fails that test. But Avraham Avinu, he's going to say, also has the power in this one act. Haya Avram Sovis Avram thought, Shapirish, here's what it means. Shayide Kedushas Asos a mitzvah. That if he does this mitzvah in a holy way, V'ho'uvda Azos, this act, Shayishchad as Yitzchak, that he will take the life of Yitzchak L'shem Shemayim, that itself would be such a great act that it would fix the world. Shayispashit Kedushas HaTorah, and this would spread Torah throughout the world. Shnechlelas B'teves Yaakov Ba'olam, which is included in the word Yaakov. So by Yom HaShlishi, he understood, if you shecht Yitzchak, that's going to accomplish the same as the existence of Yaakov Avinu. L'chein lo hayelo, kashelo, kushes ha-mefarshim. That's why Avraham Avinu didn't have the kasha that all the mefarshim have. It says, you're going to have a Yaakov, then how are you going to take the life of Yitzchak? The answer is, he didn't understand Yaakov literally. He understood Yaakov as a concept. And he saw this concept of Yaakov, and he wasn't given yet to see that it would be. I want to say the Zohar itself asks this question. The Zohar says, if he knew there was going to be a Yom HaShlishi, it was going to be a Yaakov, then what's the test? So the Zohar has two explanations. One, first explanation of the Zohar is that Avraham Avinu, as we mentioned before, was somehow supposed to ignore that. He's supposed to know that there is a Yaakov coming and completely remove that from his mind. And that was part of his test. That's the first explanation of the Zohar. But the second explanation of the Zohar is that Vayaris Amoko Me'rachok is that he saw everything from afar. So even though he saw Yaakov, but it wasn't clear enough. That's what the Zohar's other explanation was. He saw everything from afar. And actually the word Hamakom, and the word Makom is numerical value of 186. Yaakov is 182. And if you add the four letters of Yaakov, it also becomes 186. So Vayaris Hamakom Erachik, he saw Yaakov was, in other words, it wasn't clear. So the second explanation of the Zohar kind of fits, and it could be that's what the Zohar Kodesh is trying to explain, is that he couldn't see that prophecy so clearly to see Mamish, his grandson, in the cradle, but rather he saw the concept because it was far away from him. So he says he didn't have the kashim mafarshim. Gilo hibidah gashmi is Yaakov. He wasn't looking at physical Yaakov. Rakal mashe b'shmo marumas kanal shetispashe kedushas haTorah atzof kaladoros. Rather, that the Torah would spread through all generations. Let me just repeat all this and once more. So the question is, why is Avram chopping the wood? The first explanation is that Avram understands that he's about to fix the sin of the Eitz Hadas, which was the infusion of selfishness and ego and all of that, and that Adam Rishon allowed that personal pleasure, and Avram Avinu had to somehow split and partition himself in order to properly perform the mitzvah in a way that would fix the world. And he quotes the Baal Shem Tov also in his last moment. The second explanation was that he was doing so by Yivaka Ikvus, going through all the generations until the coming of Mashiach. And the third explanation is that Yivaka is actually chopping the wood. His intention is to generate Yaakov, and even though he doesn't quite know what that means, he knows that it's going to lead to the Aseres Adibros, which has 172 words, and so he's generating that. Now, the question was, he's going to have a Yitzchak, and if he's not going to have a Yitzchak, how are you going to have a Yaakov? So he somehow understood that this act would be so great, had he shechted Yitzchak, that it would have accomplished whatever needed to be accomplished for the sake of the fixing of the world, and the whole world would forever recognize that Hashem is Hashem, or at least there would be a continuity in this, even without the physical Yaakov. Yes?
So, is that what we are in the Tikkun HaShahara? What he said that Hashem remembers his covenant with Abraham, with Yaakov, but not with Yisrael.
Right, right. The changing of the order. The changing of the order. Yeah, you know, I hear you. According to this approach of the Zohar Kodesh, you could definitely explain why it goes Avram, Yaakov, Yitzchak in some places, because Avram and Yaakov would be more direct, and Yitzchak would somehow have been within this. He would have been the indirectly part of the mission. Perhaps, but there are other explanations already given based on the Midos for why the orders are rearranged. Yes?
It kind of disturbs me that Abraham said, why can't Ishmael be the one who carries on? Because that implies that it's not free will, but that it's Hashem's desire to have somebody like that in the world, and Hashem puts that.
Well, yeah, that was the original plan, right? Hagar was supposed to have a child for Sarah. And you know, the first attempt failed, right? She runs away. And then he comes back and Hashem says, you're going to have a child. So Avram understands that they're still in part of that plan. No one had told him otherwise. There wasn't and then Hashem comes to him and says, you're going to have a child. He says, didn't we already do this? Right? And that's his question. If it's for me, don't worry about me. If it's for you, Hashem, I'm okay if you work through Yishmael. Don't do anything for me. Right?
Yishmael did that to Shuba.
Like there's an intention, right, that Hashem is making Yishmael, or whoever it is, the tzaddik that he has to be in order to continue on the Jewish people.
Well, that's what he's saying. Lu Yishmael Yechia Lefanecha, let it be. Right? He's not saying that Hashem should give it to Yishmael if he doesn't deserve it, but let him be the tzaddik. Hashem says to him, he's not. He's not the tzaddik. That's not the kind of person he is.
So, in other words, with Yitzchak, are we saying that the reason it continued through Yitzchak is because Hashem made him a tzaddik?
Right, Hashem knew that Yitzchak would truly be a tzaddik, but that Yishmael would not, as it turns out. Right. So the point is of all of this is that this is all just a little bit of what's contained in the act of Avraham Avinu chopping wood. Right. That's just the chopping wood, which is days before the Akedah even begins. He's already fixing the chet of the Eitz Hadas. May all of us be zocha that the power of Avraham Avinu, of Yitzchak and of Yaakov, but their Kedusha and their ability to serve Hashem in such an incredible way. And they left it for us. They did. We are his continuity. When he said, Baruch Hashem, it's going to go on, he meant you. So let's carry on that legacy. And all of us should be Oved Hashem as best we can.
Thank you, Randy. Recording stopped.